Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship.
Thank you.
Nice to see you, and nice to see you here. Oh, back inside again. Thanks for coming. Worship's better when there's people here to worship together. We have a few announcements we want to make. The Shady Oak Bible Study will be online this week, this Wednesday, and just contact Pastor Giovanni to get the meeting link, and if you have questions about that, you can ask him and he'll give you the details. Also, our Tuesday night Bible study will resume, and we'll be meeting here at Stavanger, just right over there in the overflow, this Tuesday at 7 p.m., a new study in the book of Ephesians will be beginning this week. So, welcome to that. This is a Mission Sunday, our designated Mission Sunday, third Sunday of the month, and we have a postcard from the Hoshes that I'd like to share with you. Hello, Stavanger family. Oh, how we wish we could be in person with you, but we continue to pray and give thanks to God for each of you. We are so sad to hear of Joanne's passing, but so thankful she is free of pain and Noah, and now with Jesus. We are praying for you all, especially for Gordon and family. The kids start up school again quite soon. Winnie starts tomorrow, August 10th, so you know this is sent a little while ago. Adelaide begins on the 20th, and she's looking forward to routine. And I think they all are. Hopefully cooler temps in a couple of months, and she's been feeling pretty well recently, but the heat brings on some nausea at times. So please be in prayer for my health. This pregnancy, good transitions back to school and for the kids, and continued improvements in language studies. Praying for wisdom and health for all of you, the Hoshes. So let's remember them in prayer. And we'll have a little missions video coming up later in the service. Those are the announcements I have. As we're figuring out how to be back inside, be together again. We're trying to sit in family groups and stay spread out. And thank you for doing what you can to help keep your neighbors safe. We'll obviously have to figure out stuff as we go along. We're trying to anticipate what we can here. So maybe save the bear hugs and handshakes for another time. If you want to visit after the service, please do so outside, and then feel free to visit with one another, and you can decide what you need to do with your masks once you're outside again. So, are there any other announcements? Okay, real good. Well, then let us begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship from Psalm 96, verses 1 through 4. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Have a moment of silence. We continue to prepare for worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to gather together to worship you. Pray you draw our hearts and minds toward you. And pray, Lord, you would help us to hear from you, from your word. So we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified and honored and praised in this time, and that we people would be fed with the bread of life, your holy word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you may rise as you're able for singing of his praises. The song's printed in your bulletin up on the screen.
Oh, Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. You may be seated.
Please continue singing with us, Jesus Messiah. You'll find it in your sheets, and it will be on the... there we go.
Blessed be King of
continue to worship by coming to the Lord with a confession of our sins and also hearing words of forgiveness. I invite you to follow along on the reverse side of your bulletin sheet. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. Amen. Let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We have our video ready to go. All right, we're gonna give it a try. Our first video of mission work with Lutheran Brethren International Mission. So.
The Muslim culture is very social. You are defined by your position, by your belonging to the local village community, and by extension to the larger Muslim ummah, what they call it, the Muslim community. It's your identity, it's who you are. This is a very folk Islam here. It's more of a mixture of Islam plus a lot of local traditions. What's most important is not what you believe, but what you do. Do you do the religious things? I've asked a lot of Muslims why they pray, why they fast. The only answer is because God wants them to. This is what God has established for them to do, to be good people. But the real reason is because everyone else is doing it, and they can't possibly step out of line with the community.
It's unthinkable to them to live without believing in the whole worldview of Islam. Their language is full of God talk, and all their place in society is interwoven with that religion. They have to obey the religion not only to someday hopefully get to paradise, but to be in good standing with mom and dad and a family and the village. There's no separation between the practice of Islam and being a human being. And if they're not part of a community, that leaves nothing in life.
Because of their historical roots in Judaism, Islam and Christianity do share some common ground.
In many ways, they seem to resemble the other faiths of Abraham.
There is a common ground with Jesus in that they know that he was a prophet. And that gives us respect in the community that we're followers of Jesus.
In the Quran, they speak of Jesus Christ, but not as the only Son of God. He's recognized as a prophet, but not the final prophet. They just say you can refer to the example of Jesus Christ and refer to him.
The crowd says Jesus didn't die on the cross. Before he was killed, he was taken up into heaven, and then he'll come back someday and kill the devil, live for 7 years, and then he'll die. And so Jesus is there, and it helps, but the crowd hinders in terms of what the crowd has taught them from since they were little kids, and so it's hard to overcome that initial, well, here's what I learned, how do you know that what you're saying is right?
They'll say they know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus, and the rest. What's interesting is there are no promises. If you say, tell me the story of Abraham, there's no promise made to Abraham. There's just requirements. Submit to God. You know, tell me about Jesus. Well, Jesus is a prophet who taught people and did many miracles. But you don't get a promise. People all want a promise. People want to know what they can expect from God. And no other faith is giving it to them. Certainly Islam is not. You cannot know what to expect from God as a Muslim.
For them, forgiveness does exist. Pardon does exist with God. But it's capricious. It's done by his own sovereign decision, and it's not related to necessarily love or the sacrifice of his son, for sure.
In the faith that we bring, the faith of Jesus Christ, all we're saying is what you want, the heart desires expressed in your faith are promised to you in Jesus. The reality is that the desire, the cry of the Muslim people is precisely what Jesus gives, and that's all we're telling them. It's that bit of good news.
Please pray that many Muslims would hear the good news of Jesus Christ and have the courage to believe.
Reason to pray that this good news would find good soil and grow and bear fruit. And pray for those who are bearing that good news. Just a couple of things before we move into prayer. First of all, I would welcome visitors, any that are here today, first time in Stavanger. We're glad you're here, and look forward to meeting you as much as possible. We're, like everyone else, trying to figure out how to gather in a way that works for as many people as possible, and to be respectful of the civil authorities as we are instructed in Scripture. And one of the things that just to mention for us here, and our services are being recorded, and that's why I want to mention that, is how we share specific prayer requests and pray about those. It looks a little different now than it has in the past because our services are being recorded. We want to strike a balance between respecting people's privacy and things like that, because when it goes online, it's available for everybody. So we still want to be able to pray for one another with specific requests, and so we're kind of figuring out how we're doing that now. So bear with us, and if you got some good ideas, please feel free to share those with the pastoral staff, and I'll be eager to hear. But I don't have one in front of me, normally do. There are the little cards. Oh, no, those are probably better removed, haven't they? The prayer requests. Okay, never mind. We're still figuring this out. But you have the telephone, and our numbers are posted in the bulletin, so you can share a prayer request with one of us pastors that way. And again, like I said, we're figuring this out as we go along, and if you have suggestions, please feel free to share. There's an offering plate. You maybe saw that. Maybe you left your offering on the way in. You can also leave it on the way out, or both if you want. And since it is Mission Sunday, I should mention that Any undesignated or any offerings that are designated Mission Sunday will go to the Hosh ministry, has been our practice here in recent months. Okay, well, that's enough, I think, extended announcements here. But let's go into a time of prayer for the needs that we're aware of. Heavenly Father, thank you for, again, allowing us to gather. Thank you for everyone you brought here today. And I thank you, Lord, for those who would like to be here, but I believe, Lord, it's perhaps more prudent to stay home because of the current situation. And Lord, I pray you would bless and minister to each one. I especially think of those, Lord, who have been particularly isolated during these months. Provide contact, a safe human interaction with them, fellowship, Lord, in whatever form you choose to provide, and encourage those, Lord, who are struggling with loneliness, depression, anxiety of any kind, Lord, or physical or social or financial concerns. Lord, even those among us here today, we pray that you would help us to look to you, to trust in you, to draw strength from you through all of this, Lord. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray that it's difficult to watch news, Lord, as it seems the fabric of our society is pulling apart at the seams and in between the seams. Lord, we know that there's no true unity except that which is in you. And so, Lord, help us not to be dismayed, Lord, but help us to be peacemakers, pointing to you, the Prince of Peace. Lord, we pray that there would be civil peace during this election season. It's difficult to even find words how to pray, other than we pray, Lord, that you would help your church to be your light during times of darkness, of uncertainty, of unrest. So we pray this, Lord, for both before, during, and after this election. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to rejoice in you, not in whichever candidate wins or loses in the various races, but to realize, Lord, that you are the one who is sovereign, who governs justly. And Lord, we pray that those who are entrusted now and in the future with roles in civil government, that you would protect them, you would bless them, and that you would help them to realize, Lord, they are your agents, your servants, and would govern justly and fairly. So we entrust these concerns to you, Lord, along with all the unspoken prayers of our hearts. We pray, Lord, for the sick and for protection of the vulnerable and for all needs that we have. Most of all, Lord, our need to know you and to trust and follow you. So we ask these things in Jesus' name and pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's be gone. Bunker, good to be back. like to begin with the reading of our scripture, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others, because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. End of reading. Stavanger Church, a very famous passage from the Gospel. Well, Stavanger Church, to start with a little story. You know the 2020 Norway chess tournament? Anybody heard of it? No, probably not. The chess tournament? The 2020 Norway chess tournament. It just came to an end this past Friday, October 16th. There was an international chess tournament featuring some of the world's best chess players. And this international chess tournament took place where? In Stavanger, Norway. Yeah, Stavanger. Well, the tournament winner, a man by the name of Magnus Carlsen. That's a Norwegian name, right? Magnus Carlsen. Magnus Carlsen's ranked the best player in the world. He's a grandmaster. And he did not disappoint. He racked up enough wins and enough points throughout the tournament to be declared the winner way ahead of time, even before the last matches were played. So you can go online and on YouTube and watch Magnus Carlsen do some chess tutorials. In these chess tutorial videos, Magnus Carlsen will play against the computer. And while he talks you through his thought process, he's showing you that chess is a game of strategy. All the moves on the board, and you have to know this board. You have to know the board inside and out. You have to know the pieces. You have to know how the pieces can move, and you have to know how to capture your opponent, how to trap your opponent, how to lure your opponent. You have to think ahead and anticipate your opponent's moves. That's chess. And chess, everything is limited to those 64 squares on the game board. There's 1 through 8 vertically and A through H horizontally. And on the chess board, Magnus Carlsen is the world champion. He's such an advanced player that he can set up the board in such a way that no matter what move you make, it's going to be a bad one. In chess, this is called Zugzwang. I think it's a German word. Zugzwang. Zugzwang means it's your turn. You have to move, but you've been trapped. And you're in a situation that no matter where you move, no matter what piece you move, no matter what you do, it's going to be a bad move and put you in a bad position, an even worse position. Zugzwang. That's a chess strategy. Well, to be honest with you, I'm not much of a chess player. I'm more of a chess fan.
I like watching the top players and their strategies. I like watching them face off. And in today's scripture, from Matthew 22, we read about a face-off. A face-off of religious and political leaders taking on Jesus, setting him up. The Pharisees, they went out and they laid plans to trap Jesus. The Pharisees had a strategy, a game plan, going to get him. They made their moves. They positioned the Herodians alongside themselves. So you have the Pharisees, they're the pious ones, the lawyers, the people who try to obtain righteousness as if it were by works. They saw Jesus as their opponent in this game. And the Pharisees call upon the Herodians. The Herodians are not friends with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are using the Herodians strategically, placing the Herodians there so that they can hear the answer that Jesus will give, so that they can be witness to what Jesus says and to use it against him. But not much is known about the Herodians other than that they hated Jesus. We see that in Scripture. And they were loyal to who? Obvious, King Herod and the Herods, the Herodian dynasty. And we remember the Herods had deep ties to Rome. Some of the Herods were educated in Rome with the Caesars. So, like a Magnus Carlsen chess tutorial, reading today's scripture, we can see the strategy of the Pharisees trying to trap Jesus, trying to put Jesus in a bad position, trying to force him to make a bad move. Come on, say it, Jesus. Say it. So the Pharisees, they went out and they laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. And then they used flattering words to make him feel comfortable, strategically to engage him. Jesus, teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others, perhaps looking at the Herodians, because you pay no attention to who they are. Well, teachers teach. So they're provoking Jesus. You're a teacher, teach us. They have the Herodians there, but pay no mind to the Herodians because you're not swayed by others, are you? So tell us, what's your honest take on this? They say. They say, tell us, what's your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Now, Luther comments on this. Luther says of this trap, if Jesus says no, then the servants of Herod are present and will put him to death as a revolutionary, as one who sets himself against the Roman government. And if Jesus says yes, then he will speak against the independence of the Jewish people, and the Pharisees will excite the people against him, for the Jews wish to be a free people and to have their own king. So it's a lose-lose situation for Jesus. Zugzwang. But Jesus can't trap Jesus. Knowing their evil intent, he says, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? See, the Pharisees, they're bent on bringing Jesus down, this trap. All they can see, all their worldview can allow them to see, is Jesus as a threat. They're living only by sight, by appearances. They're not living by faith. They don't see the kingdom of God. They only see the kingdom of this world. And all they can think about is winning this game. Because Jesus is a threat. Jesus threatens their position of privilege. Jesus threatens their way of life. He threatens their role as leaders. The Pharisees are the religious authority. But here is Jesus. And Jesus, teacher that he is, he shows them an entirely different kingdom, an entirely different world, a world that is not seen with the eye, but is seen with faith. Jesus says, "Show me the coin used for paying the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And he asked them, "Whose image is this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, we're going to know this is our scripture. "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's." See, Jesus is not bound to their game. Jesus is not bound to the way things work here on earth. Jesus is not bound to the game the Pharisees are playing. On earth, Caesar is king. On earth, Caesar is Lord. Ah, but Caesar has been given this authority by God. The Pharisees, with the Herodians alongside themselves, are operating entirely in the kingdom of this world, according to the present evil age. And they're grabbing after power, manipulating, setting traps, playing politics. The Pharisees are questioning. They're questioning Jesus about earthly things, but Jesus tells them about heavenly things. You see, our Lord Jesus is on a mission, and in this passage, he's about a week away from the crucifixion. He doesn't fall for their trap, but he will submit to their trap. He submits himself to earthly rulers. He submits himself to Caesar. He submits himself to death upon the cross. But the Pharisees, only operating in their game, according to their world, cannot see Jesus on his mission. The Jewish people at the time expect the Messiah to be a triumphant ruler to overthrow the Roman occupiers. But Jesus, on his mission, came under the authority of the Romans, came under the authority of Caesar. He submitted himself, even to the point of death, death on a cross. And this move of submission, he didn't compromise Jesus' mission. This move of submission fulfilled Jesus' mission. Trying to trap Jesus. And Jesus upends the whole game and reveals a deeper spiritual truth. The Pharisees, they see this world. They've managed to manipulate and to become lords and rulers over people. And we are in this world, and we find ourselves under the authority of people. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Jesus teaches the way of God in accordance with the truth. And he shows us that there's more than meets the eye. No matter who holds political power, be it Herod, be it Caesar, be it a president or governors, we are to live out our time here in reverence of God. And as temporary residents, we are sojourners here. We pass our days in reverence to God. When we submit to authorities, it is ultimately in reverence to God. And God will give us that supernatural victory that you can't see with the eye. Under the authority of civil leaders, Jesus said, "Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him the Roman denarius. And he asked them, "Whose image is this on the coin? And whose inscription is this?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And that's it. The Pharisees and the Herodians, they didn't ask any follow-up questions, you notice. They were not genuinely interested in learning the truth. They were not disciples. They were not students of Jesus. They were not teachable. Instead, they heard Jesus' answer. They were amazed. Wow, he got out of the trap. And so they left him and went away. They left him and went away. But here, they didn't ask the follow-up question. But we can ask. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. So we can ask, well, what is God's? What is God's? It's more than your coin. It's more than the offering you bring here to church. Jesus is not saying, volunteer your time and money. It's more. What is God's? What can you possibly give to God or give back to God? Well, the denarius, the coin, it bears Caesar's image. And what bears God's image? You do. You, me, your brother, your sister, bear the image of God. It's you. It's you that he wants. It's all of you. It's not your time. It's not your money. It's you. You are his mission. You are the reason that he came. You are the reason that the Father sent his Son into the world. He wants you. And he wants you for eternity. He wants you. He came to save you, the person that you are, the sinner that you are, the sinner that I am, yet covered with his blood and redeemed, made holy, made righteous by the blood of his Son. Jesus, on his mission, came under the authority of a brutal dictator, and he won. The mission of our Lord Jesus is to save you, to make you his own, to restore that corrupted image. He made Adam, he made Eve in the image of God who created them. And yet we sinned and marred that image, and that image became disfigured and corrupted. And it died. But yet, Jesus, our Lord, came and redeemed it. He redeemed you by his blood. And that's what he wants. Give to God what is God's. You are God's. I want you. Your whole self. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The fact is, you can't pay your way, because Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid his taxes to Caesar, and what's more, Jesus paid the price, the cosmic price, for your soul. For eternity, he came under the authority. He paid the dues because he wants all of you. He poured out his blood on the cross for you, and that blood covers you. That blood is inside you because we come to the table that our Lord invites us to. He invites us to the communion table. We partake of his body. We partake of his blood. We can say, I am his. He is mine. Jesus, my Lord and Savior. And so, dear brothers and sisters, as the scriptures say, I plead with you to give your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that God will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. He wants you. Stop looking at your sin and start looking at the price He paid for you on that cross. We know that there's more than meets the eye. We see the election. We see politics. We see manipulation. We see advertisements one way, the other way. But we know someone bigger is in charge, and that is God, the Almighty. And we are under the authority of our civil leaders, but for a time. And yet we are promised an eternal victory. Give back to God what is God's. What is God's? You created in His image. Stavanger Church, let us worship in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Giovanni. Amen. Let's arise as you're able and sing our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace.
see you.